Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be with you again to talk about the Bible and God's Word and all kinds of things that come up as we talk about those two topics. It is August 12th. We are on the 12th Sunday after Pentecost in the lectionary cycle. I like the... It's not alliteration, oh goodness, you're going to have to provide the word for me. I like the fact that the 12th Sunday of after Pentecost this year is on the 12th of August, whatever word that is. I enjoy it. Sorry about that. There's a word, I just cannot think of it. It's been one of those days. So I hope your day is going better, at least in terms of figuring out words for what you are trying to say. And I hope that's not a sign for the rest of the podcast. I'm going to do my best to get my words out and have them make at least a semblance of sense. So it is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, and as always, I will be splitting this episode up into two parts. The first part will be today with the Old Testament texts from 1 Kings and the Psalms, and then on Wednesday, I'll do the second part of the episode, and that will be on the New Testament texts from Ephesians and the Gospel of John. So let's go ahead and get started. The first text we will be reading from the Old Testament this week comes to us from 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 4 through 8. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones, and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. So again, that is our first reading for this week, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. It comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 through 18. And we don't read a lot of 1 and 2 Kings for the lectionary cycle. It comes up here and there, but it's not one of the more prevalent ones. One thing that I noticed when I was reading through these four verses is that, did you notice that we have absolutely no idea who we are referring to? It just says he the entire time. Because we are jumping into the middle of a story, but he himself went a day's journey, we don't know who we're talking about. So I actually, the first time I read this, had to go look it up and see who this passage was talking about. And it turns out that it is talking about Elijah. Elijah is, of course, one of God's prophets. So according to my study Bible, this section, 19, 1 through 10, we are reading right in the middle of that, 4 through 8. In 19, 1 through 10, Ahab's wife, Jezebel, threatens to kill Elijah, just as he executed the prophets of Baal. Elijah flees far south to Beersheba on the southern border of Judah. When he falls asleep, an angel wakes him twice and feeds him in preparation for a long journey. His trip of 40 days and nights takes him to Horeb, or Sinai, where he spends the night in a cave. When the Lord asks him what he is doing, he says excuse me. When the Lord asks him what he is doing, he says he is the last faithful believer, and now people want to kill him as well. So this text is really fraught with danger. I mean, he's fleeing because Jezebel wants to kill him because he had prophets of Baal killed earlier. This is definitely something that you may want to check out, the whole story in 1 Kings. We're currently in chapter 19, but this is taking place before chapter 19. He's fleeing. He pretty much doesn't think he's going to make it, so he sits down under a broom tree and goes to sleep. But as often happens with God's plans, you know, Elijah's plan is not God's plan, so God sends an angel, not once, but twice, to give Elijah sustenance. Bread and water, so that he has enough food, enough strength to make the 40-day journey. 40 days, of course, is a number we hear a lot. The Israelites spent 40 years wandering in the desert. Jesus is in the wilderness 40 days with the temptations. Not the temptations, the group, but when he is being tempted by Satan. Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days in that story. And this passage makes perfect sense to be assigned for this week, because we are in a series of weeks talking a lot about bread. Jesus is saying he is the bread of life in a couple of the gospel readings for this period. A couple weeks ago, there was the story of the feeding of the 5,000. There was the psalm last week talking about that time in the wilderness with the manna and that God gives them. There was also another Old Testament reading where the people were complaining that they didn't have food. And so God says that God is going to send not only manna, but quail so that they might eat and have their fill. So this is definitely an appropriate passage for this phase that we are in the lectionary cycle. I do want to look at some commentary on this so we have a better idea of what's going on. This commentary comes from Garrett Galvin, who is Vice President for Academic Affairs and Associate Professor of Scripture at the Franciscan School of Theology in Berkeley, California. Just a side note, the Franciscan School of Theology, FST, everything has an acronym, in Berkeley at the GTU. See, the GTU, the Graduate Theological Union. That's the consortium of seminaries that my seminary is a part of. And I just bring it up because it's a really amazing place of learning. There are, I believe it's 13 seminaries of various denominations. And as I was at the Lutheran seminary, but I could take classes at any of the other seminaries. So I did take classes at the Franciscan school. I took classes at the Episcopal school. It was an amazing and ecumenical way to study when I was in seminary. That's just a little side note. When I saw that he went to, he's at the Franciscan School of Theology, I just had a little moment of nostalgia. So I thought that I would, point that out. So he says that Elijah literally finds himself in the wilderness in this reading, but he also seems to be figuratively in the wilderness as he asks God to take his life. Elijah has endured a traumatic episode with the prophets of Baal and Asherah up in the northern region. Remember, the study Bible said that he fled south after Jezebel threatened to kill him, wanted to kill him. Although he successfully dispatched the prophets and demonstrated God's power to Ahab, something is wrong. Elijah experiences a sense of shame or failure or some type of emotion on which we cannot quite put our finger. It leaves him deflated, despondent, and depressed. He says that we may never know what exactly led to this situation under the broom tree in the wilderness, but I imagine we all can think of a difficult situation like this. We can think of Hagar in the wilderness with her young boy, but God would not allow that situation to endure. We can think of Jonah under his own tree in faraway Nineveh, equally despondent. The Bible presents these scenarios to us in order to highlight the travails of God's people. Whether they be born foreign female slave, a runaway prophet, or perhaps the most famous prophet, there will be bumps in the road, or perhaps chasms in the road. So I very much like how he puts this into perspective. I mean, we already talked about some of the other things that are common in this story with other stories in the Bible, the 40 days, the giving of bread, etc. But also this feeling of despair or despondency that often happens in biblical stories, especially Old Testament stories, where the focus of the story reaches a point where he or she doesn't feel like they can go on. They might feel like they just are better off dead. And God never leaves the situation like that. There's always something. Jonah is one of my favorite stories because it is absolutely hilarious. I mean, Jonah sits down under this little shrub thing to watch the destruction of Nineveh, and when it doesn't happen, he wails, "I may as well just die because of this." He's so funny in that. And then God sends a little worm to nibble on the tree and cause it to shrivel and die. And so then the only source of shade that Jonah has is taken away, and then he's so whiny again. But we're not talking about Jonah today. We're talking about Elijah. But there's other examples of places in the Bible where people feel like they're at their wit's end. And this is where God always sends help. I mean, God sent the manna and the quail to the Israelites as they were in the desert because they were afraid they were going to starve. God helps Hagar when she is in the wilderness and she is convinced that she and her son are going to starve or die of dehydration. God even helps Jonah, even though Jonah whines the entire time about it. So God is clearly present in the lives of these people that we read about in these stories. And God is present just the same in our lives as well. I wonder if you can think of a time when you felt like you were in your own wilderness experience, whether you were despairing, whether you were depressed, whether you felt hopeless, whatever it was. What was the time in your life when you felt like you maybe just couldn't go on? You didn't know quite how to put one foot in front of the other anymore. And that could be more metaphorical. That could have been somehow literal for you. It doesn't have to be to the extreme of you wanted to die, but that could be the case as well. There's so many different levels of points in our lives where we feel despair and despondent and we don't quite know what to do anymore. And we might not have quite the tangible experience that the people in the stories that we read about do. If you have, I would love to hear it. Find me on social media and tell me of a time when you were in that place of despair and you had a tangible example of God. You know, maybe your angel came in the form of a friend, a friend who came to you at exactly the right time and brought you exactly what you needed to help you to take a step out of the place that you were in, to get you on the right path toward where you needed to go. I would love to hear those stories. We might not always have quite that tangible. I mean, we don't necessarily have an angel who comes to us and brings us a cake and water and leaves that there for us while we're sleeping or taps us and wakes us up. But like I said, we do have people in our lives who represent God to us, who are God for us. We all have that incarnation within us, and we can all be God to one another when we are doing God's work. So what are those times in your life when you have had God respond to you at your lowest moment of despair? I have had, so many. It's almost hard to even count sometimes, you know, because there are those levels. There are the deepest, darkest levels of despair that we find ourselves in. And then there are the ones where we still feel despair, we still feel defeated or deflated, but maybe they aren't quite as bad. I have been going through a period in my own life for the past several years that has been very, very up and down, very roller coaster-esque. And I haven't had, you know, what I could call an actual angel, but I have definitely had angels who have appeared in my life who have given me things that I need to move forward, whether that was a kind word, whether that was help with a task that I wasn't feeling like I was able to accomplish, whether that was help with so many different things. There's so many ways to be the angel in someone's life. And I hope that you have had those experiences, because God really does work through people. And I think that we see that through this story with Elijah, and we see that through so many stories in the Bible where God comes to the people just when they need it most. And I hope that you have had that experience as well, where God has come to you just when you need it most. I mean, often we talk about God's timing and how God's timing isn't our timing. And maybe there are times when we don't even recognize that God has come to us in the guise of someone that we know. Maybe it's in hindsight where we think, oh my gosh, there was an angel in my midst, in my presence, and I didn't even realize it. Because maybe you were so focused on what you wanted God to do in that moment, or your own timing as opposed to God's timing. But there's also those times when you absolutely recognize it and you think, oh my gosh, that was exactly what I needed. That definitely had God's fingerprints all over it. Thank you so much, God. I hope you've had that. If you've had those experiences, like I said, please come and find me on social media, comment on this episode, tell me what those experiences are. I would love to hear them. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll look at the psalm assigned for this week. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. Guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. I am speaking today about the texts assigned for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. That is August 12th this year. And talking today about the Old Testament text. We just finished speaking about the text from 1 Kings chapter 19, and now I'm going to move on to the psalm. This week and next week, it comes from Psalm 34. This week we look at Psalm 34 verses 1 through 8, and those verses are as follows. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried, and was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. So that is Psalm 4, verses 1 through 8. And this section of verses makes me want to sing. I mean, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth is something that I know from my own worship experiences. And then Taste and See is a hymn that I am very familiar with. So I'm not going to sing. I'm all scratchy and croaky. I'm not going to subject you to that. But maybe you had similar experiences where you're like, oh, yes, that reminds me of worship and that song that we sing for X, Y, and Z. Another thought I had as I was reading through this is that this is so much what we were just talking about in the first section, you know, crying out to God, God answering us, God delivering us from our fears. Yes, this poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. And remember that fear in this case means fear in that sense of incredible awe, which can sometimes be actual fear, but is more of just that huge feeling of awe at everything that God has done and continues to do, and just the amazingness that is God. So this just, you can see why it's a sign for this week. And then, of course, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good fits in with the bread connections that we've got going on in this series of weeks, and the bread that was left by the angel in the first reading from 1 Kings. So definitely themes happening in this week's lectionary cycle, which usually there's themes. Sometimes I feel like I read through the four texts and go, yeah, well, I don't know what was going on there, but that's okay. All right, so the commentary. Let's look at some commentary. This time it comes from Eric Mathis, assistant professor of music and worship at Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. And he gives us a very nice overview of Psalm 34 as a whole, which is great. He says that Psalm 34 is a testimony embedded in the narrative of Scripture. Like any testimony, it gives the narrative of God and the narrative of David, the Old Testament protagonist or antagonist, depending on which part of his life the reader is considering. In Psalm 34, David gives testimony of a time when he fled Saul. Oh, look, more fleeing. Took refuge with the Philistines and came to be afraid of King Achish, the king of Gath. The structure of the first eight verses of this psalm does two things. It establishes the author's intention to give a testimony, verses 1 through 3, and it provides the details of David's experience that prompted the testimony. Although this week's lectionary reading includes verses 7 and 8, any division of verses 7 through 14 could be characterized as nebulous. Because they are included here, it could be that they are intended to foreshadow the message the psalmist will emphasize through the remainder of the psalm, that doing good is a matter of following the ways of the Lord. Okay. So, again, so many connections. Now we have David also fleeing. We had Elijah fleeing. Now we have David fleeing. He's fleeing Saul. He's taking refuge with the Philistines, and he is afraid of King Achish, the king of Gath. And you can find that story in 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 through 12, if you are interested in reading more about King David. The commentator moves on to specifically these eight verses and the structure of these eight verses. He says that David begins his testimony in Psalm 34 by stating his intent, and that intent is to worship God at all times. This praise, however, is not passive. It is an intentional commitment to extol the name of God in an ongoing manner. This praise is to be continuous. It is to happen at all times. The author then invites, even commands, others to listen, particularly those who are weak. He then asks the question, what is the cumulative result? Well, the result is that the assembly will worship Yahweh together by offering praise, so that what began as one individual's praise has now become a corporate reason to praise. Verses 4 through 6, he says, are a more specific account of the general introduction to Psalm 34. Here, the psalmist doesn't tell the whole story, but he does say that he prayed to God, and God heard and rescued him from what may have been a terrifying experience. He was then delivered from the object of the fear, not only the feeling of fear. Looking to God will do for others as it did for the psalmist, give a new appearance, which is in verse 5. In this particular instance, the new appearance was one of radiance, of shining. And then verse 6 provides a recap of the psalm. A weak man called to God, God listened, and then God delivered. So there you go, the structure of Psalm 34. And I just feel like I said everything in my talking about 1 Kings, because I'm feeling all of the same thing, is that this is just one more example of a story, this in this case David, in this case it's the psalm referring to the story of David, but you know where I'm going, of someone who was desperate, someone who was fleeing, someone who was afraid, someone who maybe felt defeated, deflated, despondent, depressed. I like alliteration. who called out to God and who was answered and who was rescued from the situation that he was in. And I like that the commentator points out that God delivers him from the object of the fear, not just the feeling of fear. So God delivered David from what he was afraid of, not just took away the feeling of being afraid. Just more examples of how God continually works in our life and provides things that we may not even realize that we need. So we have these two texts today talking about being in those dark places and being delivered from those dark places. Oh, well, I'm thinking of it. Something that I didn't mention about this psalm is that it is another psalm in the book of Psalms that is an acrostic. So each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And acrostic poems, of course, were, according to one commentator, the works of highly skilled literary artists, and they functioned in ancient Israelite literature in a number of ways. This is commentator Nancy DeClasse Walford, professor of Old Testament and Biblical Languages, McAfee School of Theology, Mercer University, Atlanta, Georgia. I apologize for just totally butchering her title. Acrostics were most likely memory devices to aid in private and public, that is, individual and corporate recitation. In addition, literarily, they summarized all that could be said or that needed to be said about a particular subject, summing it up from Aleph to Tav, or A to Z. And she says that Adele Berlin suggests further that in an acrostic, the entire alphabet, the source of all words, is marshaled in praise of God. One cannot actually use all of the words in a language, but by using the alphabet, one uses all of the potential words. So I found that really interesting, and it doesn't translate into English as an acrostic, but we have all, I'm sure, used acrostic and those kinds of devices to help in memorization at various points in our life. So I don't know, I find stuff like that fascinating. I don't know if you do, but I am a little bit of a nerd, and I like those kinds of things. So I pass them on to you, and you can take them or leave them, whatever makes you happiest. At any rate, call on God. God will help you, I think, is how we could summarize this episode and the readings that we had from 1 Kings chapter 19 and Psalm 34. Call on God no matter what your situation is, no matter how much despair you are feeling, no matter how much fear you are feeling. Call on God, and God will deliver you. God will answer. Sometimes it's immediate, like Elijah. God sent that angel so that Elijah could be provided with food. We don't know exactly from the psalm what David's situation was, but it's very clear that David called on God, God answered, and David was delivered. So think about those times when you have felt that you have been delivered, when you felt like you were maybe visited by one of God's angels in the guise of maybe your coworker, maybe your friend, maybe a stranger who just did something that was perfect that day. And think about those times, and then try to take that realization with you into the rest of, going forward, so that when you do feel despair, you can maybe have an easier time of asking for help. Maybe you can have an easier time of realizing that you've been helped before and you will be helped again, and that this too shall pass, that God is with you no matter what is going on. God is walking beside you. God will be there with you, giving you the things that you need to move through this dark period of your life. It may not be what you want. It may not be what you expect, but God is always there with us. God is always answering our prayers. God is always redeeming us and giving us the things that we need to live our lives. So thank you so much for joining me. I think I'm going to wrap this episode up. Thank you, like I said, for joining me for this episode. I hope you will join me again on Wednesday when I move on to the New Testament text assigned for this week. Again, this week is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. Thank you. I hope you're having a wonderful start to your week. I hope you have a great week, and I hope and pray that you remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.